blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Saha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharma Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Saha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Saha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Niroha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Niroha Gamini Padipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of his religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhamma. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi sabha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face a new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering.
Shall we look at this morning?
Yeah. There's a spider that I'd like to put out outside, but I was thinking before that about how. So I've been here 2.5 weeks, and.
But who's counting?
I think about it, but that's about right, I think. Mm-hmm. And. And it does seem like, so the part that I'm really enjoying is being present throughout the day. Mm-hmm. Because I will notice, you know, little things come in, but it's really so much easier for some reason to drop it. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, and you know what it has to do with, you know, that I have to be aware of what I'm doing and what time it is and just the schedule and my shoes and everything and okay, when am I going to take a shower? And I mean, not that I plan it all, but it feels really good to just be aware and let whatever come up mm-hmm. versus planning it.
Right, yeah. You know, when you say planning it, I project what you're saying is like rehashing it, kind of like, I'm going to take a shower, and I'm going to take a walk, I'm going to get dressed, I'm going to do working meditation, I'm going to... But it sounds like it's just arising for you as you're going about.
Yeah, and then that thing will come up, like it's Sunday, and I think, well, gosh, it would be great to do some yoga, and gosh, it would be nice to take a long hike, and I think I'll take a shower, and maybe I'll wash some clothes, and blah, 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 and it gets... And so it's easier just, since I've been able to practice being aware all day, mm-hmm. it's really easy to drop that. Like, and I said, you know, and to be kind to myself, like, okay, I'm going to leave my yoga mat out, and I probably will do some yoga today, but we'll see. I don't really know what the schedule is, but we'll see. Mm-hmm. You know, and I can just do a little before I go to bed or whatever. So that, you know, it's okay. And it's just not the tendency to get caught up in it.
Yeah. Because that would be, like, I would, you know, guess that's the habitual thing, that it would be a tendency to get caught up in. But in this environment, that's not what's occurring for you, because you have a better ability to just drop it. Mm-hmm. You know, you might do yoga, you might not. But the mat is rolled out, ready for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And so I was thinking about the spider. So in meditation, I still have a lot going on in my head.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
But walking around, it's easier to drop it. Uh-huh. It's nice. But I noticed, like, just noticing the spider, I thought, gosh, is it going to walk on me? My ankle was exposed, and I thought, I think I'm going to have to move if it walks on me. So I was a little tense, and then uh-huh. I noticed more stuff. Uh-huh. You know, my body was a little more tense, and my head was a little more tense uh-huh. because of that, I think.
And you're able to see it all as it was arising. I mean, that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
That's what you're describing is exactly the experience that we're here to have, is to see how it all just arises, what arises, when it comes in, what it says, what the voices say about this.
Yeah.
How we respond. You get a little snapshot of ourselves.
Yeah. Okay, there's one other thing. And that is that I noticed, I'm doing the greenhouse, and at my house, I'm responsible for fixing things and keeping the upkeep of the house and around the house and all that. And here, there's a part about it, it's a little more relaxing because I don't have that responsibility. I mean, I do what you tell me to do, and then I really don't have to worry about it, because I was thinking about the hose leaking, and I thought, well, I want to fix it.
Uh-huh.
But it's a funny thing. It's like I want to help more or something, but that's not on my list of things to do, so I'm not going to do it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So is it like there you are, you're going along, and your task is simply to water.
Yeah.
And you notice these things come up, like, so okay, there's a drippy hose or something like that. And then what I hear you saying is that there's a little bit of a conversation about, well, at home I would fix it, and I want to help out, and I want to, I'd love to fix it, but I'm only asked to water. It's not like I'm being asked to do other things. You're just doing what you're told.
Yeah.
And where do you go with that from there? Or do you just say, oh, it's not, it's not what I do.
I thought about writing a note to the guest master, but I thought, well, I mean, everybody that lives in the monastery knows the hose leak.
Just common knowledge. Go to the greenhouse. There's going to be that hose leak.
So if the people who want that done, they will make it, they will work it into the schedule.
Uh-huh. And are you aware that there? I mean, that there's a conversation going on about that, kind of like the spider. Like, I want to take it out, and then,
because I was relating it to my at home, and how it's more relaxing here. I guess it has to do with responsibility, but at home, there's more of that slave driver person that I have that tends to get all worked up about everything, and that if there was a leaky hose and there was a this and that, I would be suffering through. Huh. Gosh, I gotta get all these things done, and
it would go on your to-do list.
Yeah,
it would be not just a potential note to somebody. It would be everything that you actually needed to take care of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the relaxing part is what I hear you saying is that, you can notice all these things, and that's what you're here to do, or at least that's what's being told to you. That's what's here to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was thinking at home, how could I make it less stressful at home?
Yeah.
And I thought, I get a schedule to do during the day. I could do that more than I do. Mm. I could, say, okay, this is what I'm going to do, and not worry about it if other things come up.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, if I don't have any schedule at all, then all that, those little things that I see really can get me.
And how do they get you? What do you hear about them?
That, oh my gosh, when are you going to fix that? Lots, I guess. Like, when are you going to get around to that? That's really important. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And because I've been sitting and being present, lots of times I can drop that too. Like, I'll see, oh yeah, I really should pick that up and do it, but I just don't. Mm-hmm. There's that going on too.
Yeah.
Skipping it.
Yeah, it's just like a, kind of like a, maybe like bouncing back and forth between two sides. Like, there's so much to do. Oh my God, I can't fit it all in. I'm just overwhelmed. And there's another side. It's just like, ooh, I'm not doing that. I'll let it arise when it arises.
Yeah.
And so I won't worry about it, and then it'll just kind of like keep dripping or leaking.
Yeah, or it'll sit there till
until this person comes back in again. It's like,
well, it's not necessarily even her. It's just something even more more present, like, you know, walking up to it, putting it there.
Yeah.
And going about my business.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah, because I've been aware of that slave driving thing, and I'm just not interested at all in in living that way.
Yeah.
So.
You're looking for a middle way, where you can actually do the things that you need to do or want to do, and not have to have it come from either of those two sides.
Yeah.
You know, where it's just. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or like, oh, forget it, or I gotta do it.
That's right. Gotta do it, and boy, you gotta do it.
Yeah.
That's great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And should I get it?
Do we have the bug bus there? Okay, it's there.
Can I get up and get it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Todd.
I'm seeing how supportive asking for guidance is, which I saw last year's month retreat. Conditioning had taken my practice and had convinced me that I was adequate to my own life experience no matter what, and I couldn't ask for guidance. And it caused a tremendous amount of suffering.
Right, yeah, you don't know, and therefore you need to be adequate to your own experience, and whatever happens, happens.
Brutal.
Yeah.
It was brutal. And this time,
you're not turning on the stove or anything like that. There's gas leak or something.
No. It's crazy. Yeah. And, you know, my first experience with guidance this time was I was cleaning up one of the far-reaching outhouses that had sat for quite a while over the winter, and there was a lot of rodent droppings.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I just went about cleaning, sweeping up. Quite, there was a lot.
I've been there for a long time.
Like, it wasn't just a few. It was like, you know, if I describe it, we measure it.
It's their outhouse.
Anyway, I'm sweeping this out. Of course, conditioning just lays low. Mm-hmm. All right? And then after the fact, points out, well, you know, there's that hantavirus. certainly not in Canada, there's this whole discussion about it. And it's airborne. Mm-hmm. It's a respiratory thing that you get from rodent droppings. And I'm just, oh my God, I'm in this story.
Uh-huh.
There it is. I've just contracted one virus. All of a sudden, I'm like, oh, my chest feels
I'm starting to
scratch. Yeah, fever. No, really. And I went for the whole day with this story, not realizing it's a story.
Uh-huh.
And I caught on, like, oh, I can ask for guidance. Mm-hmm. So I wrote a note. This was my experience. Do you have any encouragements or reassurance? Because the voice, and I did, I relayed it. I said, the voices have me in this story.
Yeah.
Because that was the guy in group. Mm-hmm. You know, and a day later I got this note back saying, well, in our experience, no, we have swept rodent problems. And almost died or caught a respiratory disease. Uh-huh. And unless you didn't come in contact with your skin, and I had actually had before gloves on, and I didn't have any contact with skin, everything was fine. And since then, a couple more guidance experiences come up. My watch stopped 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. It just stopped. Like, wow, my watch stopped. Geez, we have a really tight schedule. We have a lot of time issues. It's going to bode well for me. You know, and I could have been in that story for a long, long time. And I went and wrote a note.
Well, it's true. We can be caught up in a story for a long, long time and realize that, wow, why am I caught up in this story for a real long, long time? I mean, is there anything that occurs to me about what I can do to, you know, bypass the middle voice or, you know, this thing that's kind of in between me and experience.
Yeah. So I wrote a note to the guest master, do you know what stopped? Is there any possibility that I may board along for the remainder of the retreat or where is, what's the guidance?
Uh-huh.
You know, listen for the bells. Might have been the guidance. Exactly. Or,
watch the sundial.
Build yourself a sundial.
Or you're off on your own. You're adequate to your experience.
Yeah, you're adequate.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
which is what a voice, you know, could literally talk you into.
And of course, there's a beautiful little watch waiting for me, which is so fun on the little desk. And you know what really dropped in meditation this morning was, well, now the voices are saying, well, you know, if you're seeking guidance, then you're not adequate to your own experience. And when you go home, how do you get guidance? And then they drop in, well, you know, that's so interesting. Our monthly donors have guidance with the monks, which I really, really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
We have at-home monkey meditation, which we give guidance to the monks. And then I thought, wouldn't it be fun if the monthly donors just got a kind of freebie once a month with guidance by email?
Mm.
50 words or less. The 50 words or less just makes me go, okay, how do I tear all the conditioning out?
Uh-huh.
It's like, you know, peeling the carrots. Like, okay, how do I get all the conditioning out of this 50 words?
Mm-hmm.
How do I cut to the end? And by the time I'm finished doing that 50 words, I've got my guidance. Because I've pared it down to, because I've taken out all the crap.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Which is almost kind of... prevented me from seeing the guidance, and another thing that is, I'm probably building that muscle for guidance within myself, because I found it when I did the mentoring and the subs.
Yeah.
And I had a guidance appointment. Well, there it was.
Yeah.
My subs needed help.
Uh-huh.
They were suffering, or they were concerned, or they had some issues.
Mm-hmm.
I asked them what their issues were. They clearly had explained to me. It was very clear what they needed. I asked, well, how could I help you? What do you need? They told me what they needed.
Mm-hmm.
I gave it to them.
That was it. Yeah, it was a little guidance appointment between you, the mentor, who you were in that moment, with the folks who had the things coming up for them.
Yeah,
and that's exactly what we've always wanted.
Right.
Just to have someone there to listen.
Yeah.
And provide that kind of support that we may never have actually had.
Right. Right.
That we now know we're capable of doing, and that way you're adequate to your own experience.
Yes, and it kind of, like you said, cuts out the middleman, which is that huge conversation.
Yes.
About sweeping room droppings, which is just
Wow. Yeah, it's like when a conversation can just go where it goes, and you are just here with what's actually happening, then the insights can drop in.
The insights can drop in.
Yeah, there's the mentor ready to just say, what do you have to say? What's coming up?
So cool.
Ask, write a note. Oh, yeah, I can write a note.
Yeah, what should I do? The man, Michael, write a note. And it's fun.
And we watch how it goes.
Yeah.
Or write they're going to think.
Page note. I love the 3-page note. Whoa, I'm giving a little too much information here.
That's right. I found out in Canada that there was a little.
Underneath the pine trees. But it's very great to see that guidance is so helpful.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Peggy? I'm just feeling really grateful for Sangha and the power of Sangha.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody shared in group about a piece of self-hate that happened to be a piece of my self-hate.
Mm.
And it was like, I know it's projection, but at that moment I just, you know, saw that this person was just pure goodness, mm-hmm. and I wanted to just get in there and separate this person from your self-hate.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like a mirror, mm-hmm. how a mirror will, if a strong light hits a mirror and it shoots it back,
that's
how it just went right back into my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like it wed, it separated that piece of content that I buy into.
That's right.
That self-hate tells me, and just seeing that person's goodness,
mm-hmm.
and realizing that is in me too.
That's
and,
right.
You know, it comes back to that being willing to do for others what you won't do for yourself. But then, because I felt that, I was able to do that for myself.
Yes.
And it leaves me in just a with huge gratefulness for Sangha.
Yeah.
The sharing just what's the word? It's like what an earthquake. The numbers go up exponentially.
That's right.
That word.
Yes.
When we get together for group,
mm-hmm.
it's just that. The effects of the awarenesses just exponentially.
I've just
been sitting with a huge amount of gratefulness and when I saw that and realized what the process of Sangha and just really feeling grateful and keeping my heart staying open is kind of at first a little vulnerable, but it feels so good. Mm-hmm. It doesn't, you know, I don't want to go here anymore to that close, to pulling it back in.
Uh-huh.
I want to risk having my heart be open to life.
Yeah. Well, that and, you know, your ability to apply the tools that we have here, like the one of projection, you know, to be able to have that at as something that you can recognize, because that experience could happen and there would just be no mirror like you described for the light to reflect back to you about how that is, how that's the same process that's going on for you. And how you were able to see that that was the same process, and you could see that there was nothing wrong with this person. In fact, this was a really good person,
mm-hmm.
and what you wanted to do was wrestle it away from that person. And how it is amazing that, you know, we don't get that kind of we don't have the same. Well, if they really knew about me, you know, it doesn't apply to me. Somehow we exclude ourselves from that kind of, you know, compassion.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it gives us an opportunity to see that. Sangha allows us to be able to have that experience. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, Lisa.
I think we're looking at perfection. And yesterday I had a neat experience with making the calendars. So I have to make these big, you know, the big calendars that y'all use for planning and retreats and stuff. And so I had this intention that I wanted to do it, you know, exactly right. And so I get started and I'm measuring the grid exactly perfectly, you know, and measuring, you know, twice before I use
commit.
My marker, you know, before I commit to the Sharpie. And and so I did the first one. I'm like, oh, but that's not right.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, but that's gonna be that. Well, this have to be okay. And then I did the next one, and I did the grid absolutely perfect. And then went to write the days of the week, and I started Monday. Oh. You know, and meanwhile, this is taking me forever because, you know, I'm just painstakingly measuring the grids. And so it's like that story, you know, maybe yes, maybe no. Well, maybe this is a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, I gotta. Conditioning wanted to just take that and run with it and started to, you know, you weren't paying attention. You know, you're not good enough for this. You're not doing it good enough, and you're going to disappoint people, and you know, this whole thing. And I was able to stop, say, whoa, time out. You know, this is not that big of a deal. Let's look at this for a minute. What I did is I turned it over, and I thought, oh, I can use the grid on the I'll just trace it and use the grid on the other side, right? And then I thought, wow, I can do them all like that. I can put this blank piece of paper on top, and I can trace it from the one. I don't have to do every single measurement of every single grid the way that conditioning was telling me that
wow.
I had to, because it has to be perfect. But
uh-huh.
I can do it this other way. So it's kind of like, well, maybe it was a mistake, maybe not. Maybe it was a way for me to see that there's a better way to do it. And I didn't have to be stuck in this one small way of looking at it.
That's amazing. It's like the missing ketchup in the fridge. You know, like I'm looking for the ketchup in the fridge, and it's in this certain bottle, and it looks this way, and it's like conditioning's painting a picture to you about how it needs to look and how you need to do it and what it means about you if you get there. And then all of a sudden, wait a minute.
Yeah, it's like, wow, this can be different. And it brought to mind the Amish tradition of how they always leave a little flaw in everything that they do, because as a reminder that only God is perfect. And I respect that, but I see it a little bit differently. And I saw it a little differently with this, that that life is perfect, and everything contained in that is perfect the way it is,
mm-hmm.
even with what we might see as inherent flaws.
Uh-huh.
So there's life's perfection, and then there's the perfection that conditioning wants to hold up for me and say, well, it has to be just exactly this way. And if that had, if I had let that taken over, I can see that where I would have gone was, you know, you have to do all of this over again. You have to use as much paper as you have to use. You have to use as much time as it takes, and you have to get it right.
That's right.
So, but I see that, you know, I have the ability to choose which perfection that I wish to go with.
Yes.
Yeah. In every moment, I can go with life's perfection and be okay with myself, with whatever the flaws that, you know, flaws
that
I might see, and with other things, you know, in the world, or I can go with conditioning's perfection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the conditioning's perfection is designed to make you suffer,
yes,
which would be perfect for it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the choice is, well, do I want to suffer over it, or do I not?
Yeah, and that really was. I mean, I saw myself going down the path, and then, you know, I don't need to do that.
That's right. So. Yeah, this is not a requirement. It wasn't part of the assignment.
Yeah, it was. The assignment wasn't, okay, make this exactly, perfectly.
That's what conditioning heard. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, because immediately it got me with, you know, the example had all the words in capital letters. And I, being the good kindergarten teacher who started this whole thing, you know, capital first, then the lowercase. So I didn't, you know, immediately, I didn't do it right.
Uh-huh.
So
it doesn't miss a beat. It's
it's just so fun to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to see that's really great too. We get to see, you know, like it's a, like everybody's been talking about. It's like a little vignette on like how it is that we cause ourselves to suffer with probably everything.
Yeah.
Neat. Thank you, Amy.
I've been experiencing a lot of anxiety with just being asked to do things outside of my comfort zone. Someone's comfort zone.
Right, someone's comfort zone. So.
And I've just been seeing a lot of anxiety come up. Looking at ways to be that.
Mm-hmm. Is there a particular kind of self-talk that comes around with the anxiety, or is it just a sensation?
There's definitely a sensation. Definitely a sort of a.
Is it here?
Kind of quickening in my chest and a tightness in my stomach. I suppose this self-talk is around not being able to do something well.
Does it say you're not doing this well?
Something like that.
Along those lines?
It varies. I mean, sometimes I'll get just the attack of, you idiot.
it cuts to the chase, yeah.
And I've recognized that immediately what that is.
So you're catching on. You're starting to do more subtle stuff. Like, oh boy.
And sometimes it's just this energetic feeling where I've just been turning to reassurances and just. It's okay, you're doing fine.
Great, because that kind of phrase doesn't live in the anxiety land. You know, it's like it has nothing to do with what conditioning is telling you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a little wedge.
Yeah.
right? I don't know. Is that your experience? I just made that up.
An attempt at a wedge.
It's right over here. It may not have wedged, but it's over here. Or at least your attention has gone over here to the wedge.
I'm not quite sure what to say about it. Just that's what I've been looking at. And it's just the sensations of anxiety.
Uh-huh.
And trying to intervene and tell that person that it's okay.
Yeah, which sounds like the answer that you were looking for. Well, when you started, you said, I'm looking to see how I can work with the anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like that's what you're doing. That's one way. And is there any reality to it? Just out of curiosity, just, you know, is it like when you're actually doing all those things, is there
that's a good question. I think I think I'm probably realistically not doing as bad as it tells me I'm doing. But but there are some things which are new things that I'm not experienced in, so
uh-huh.
So that it is something that's new and uncomfortable and different.
Uh-huh.
And so there's a certain level of reality in that, just that the fact that I'm not experienced that
that's right.
Doing this certain thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's someone doing the best that she can.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Wow, that's really good to see too. Because you know, conditioning would like to come in and make a whole lot about, you know, how you should be doing things that you've never done before or have no experience at. It
would
be like those lines, you know, it's like, oh, Jen.
This is a very favorite topic for me, as I have quite a bit of experience with it. And I was looking at, as you guys were talking, I was really looking at, okay, wow. I mean, I've had times where that's the predominant experience all day, most days, for very long lengths of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I look at, it seems like, you know, when you hear people talking about that there are karmic dispositions,
mm-hmm.
it feels like anxiety is one of them. For some mm-hmm. people, that's just a go-to place.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think about that in my family. My sisters talk about that, too. It was true for my grandmother's, one of my grandmothers essentially took to her bed when she was not much older than me now, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of it.
Mm-hmm.
My mom had agoraphobia when she was, you know, just lots of that.
Wow.
And I was just looking at, it was really interesting. Wow, that's really, most days now, most of the time, that is not my experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so it seems like there's so many interesting things in that to look at.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is that what is that? You know, when you guys were talking about the sensations, I was going to the sensations.
Yeah, me,
And what are those sensations?
Uh-huh.
Because it feels like in doing something new,
mm-hmm.
or in I was going to in doing something new or something where I'm going to be really called to,
that's
or
right.
something,
yep.
that energy begins to build.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a few things about it. And one is that I think over time I'm really realizing that that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes.
There's nothing bad going on here. You
that's
know,
right.
it's okay to feel that way. and that it may not even be anxiety.
Uh-huh. That was yes. Yeah. You know, it's like I've had the I don't know if it's your experience, but it seems like the same kind of physical sensations happen when, you know, when I like back in school where we were like doing some kind of like we're doing a performance or something
Exactly.
It just like, it would just be like the same thing where it's like, am I afraid really?
Yeah.
You know, I've done this over and over and over again, but something about this is like, if it wasn't for the voice saying, you know, this is really real, you know, you're going to be doing it for real, it's not practice anymore.
Yes. I just saw it's like an equation. Sensations plus self-talk equals anxiety. Mm. But the sensations themselves, you know, like sensations plus reassurances equals excitement.
Mm, wow. That's a neat equation. I could see that on the board.
Because that's really it. And the other interesting piece about it is that I was really looking at the comfort zone thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, is that a way that conditioning can keep a life small.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to have those sensations, and so I'm only going to, you know, do like these things.
Block off all this. Yeah.
And I think one of the things that really does happen over time is that, you know, for example, just here at the monastery, there are billions of things I'm now comfortable doing that I was not comfortable doing.
Yeah.
And so it partly is that becoming more comfortable with.
Yeah.
And I know for me, self-hate will want to come in and say, well, you're not anxious because you're just comfortable with that.
No problem for you.
That's really helpful. Uh-huh. Forgetting that, well, great.
Uh-huh.
Wow, I mean, my world has expanded so much.
That's right.
There's all the stuff that I'm comfortable doing now, which is really, you know, to be able to receive that, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
And to know that, so when I do the things that bump up against the comfort
that's
zone, that I'll have those sensations, but that's okay, because how many other times have I found out that that's just fine? That's just part of the expansion that happens.
That's right, yeah. I mean, that's part of the process. That's what I project, that's what makes this experience so powerful, is that it's what I said it earlier, it's what I've always wanted, was for an environment in which the sensations can arise, and instead of self-hate grabbing it and creating anxiety, that reassurances grab it and it creates excitement.
Yep.
And when I learned to do that for myself, kind of like when we were talking with Todd about like the mentor being there, I get to train myself to allow the, you know, or to have the experiences come up in a safe environment, a privileged environment within myself.
Exactly.
To be able to have new things come up and just move through that, Just have that experience. Oh, okay, well, it's not, oh, well, all right, okay. And I'm just, and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and then self-hate will come in with something like, hey, you're just okay with it.
You're comfortable with that. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, so I really see how, as a young person, one of my survival strategies was try to look like I already know. Mm. You know, I think that's probably common for a lot of us. But terrified of learning, terrified of not knowing, and not wanting, you know, avoiding even things that looked like a ton of fun.
Yeah.
Avoiding that situation if I didn't know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't want to look like I didn't know how to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and even not even being comfortable of, I'm sure there were tons of adults who approached me in a way of just wanting to show me how to do something.
Right.
But the environment inside was not safe. You know,
that's
you were
right.
just talking about that internal privileged environment. So already it wasn't safe. So the projection was, you know, I'm going to be humiliated, I'm going to be embarrassed,
right.
I'm going to be... So just avoid that.
Mm-hmm.
And so as you were talking a few minutes ago, I just saw, you know, what fun it is to be able to learn again.
Yeah.
To be able to, I don't know how to do that. Will someone show me?
Yes.
And it's safe to do that, because there's that safe environment internally.
Yeah, it's like I've heard Sherry say, it's the joy of learning, to reconnect to that joy of learning.
Yeah.
Because even learning how to learn is fun.
Yeah, and all those internal needs are met, so that even if there were an external person who came at me to teach me something who was, you know, unfortunate or, you know, maybe not skillful.
Yeah, the person who taught me how to drive.
That's interesting.
Yes.
But that person would not have access to the part of me who could be hurt by that.
That's right.
There's no access to, only I have access to that person. Mm-hmm. So that external unfortunate person would be interacting with the adult, Jen, who is not going to give access to the person who's hurt by that.
That's
right. The adult Jen will have the awareness to see, you know what, I'm going to choose another teacher.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. You know, exactly. Or even, there's something for me to learn here,
exactly.
And I don't need to engage with the other pieces of this, or
that's
whatever
right.
it is. But there's still no danger in it.
Exactly, yeah. It's really back to what we're practicing. You know, we're practicing separating out the self-hate from getting in contact with the people who it's trying to get in contact with. And as we practice that internally, it's like, it just has broad application. It's like, you know, you can hand me something, but I don't have to take it.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And a little person doesn't know that, because a big person hands me something, I gotta take it.
Mm-hmm.
But a big person understands I have choices.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Andrea, oh my God. I'm not overwhelmed, really.
Well, it was interesting because I saw how it relates to me not participating, because like in the kitchen, I just project that all these other people know much better than me how to do things. Mm-hmm. And what's the point? You know, why should I participate? Because I don't know, and they're there. There's 10 other people who can do the job better than me,
right.
So why do it?
You know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm seeing that.
Yeah.
And I have these beliefs that I'm kind of a space case. I'm not a sensate person. I don't know where things are. I can't remember where things in the kitchen are. So I should just dry things but not put them back. Yeah.
And so is that, are you seeing any relationship to that of, and keeping kind of like your world small?
You know,
That as the conversation keeps going, it's kind of interfering with your ability to see where things are going, what there is to do in the kitchen, and what, do you know what I mean? It's like the more that's there, the less you're actually able to see what is actually going on and where you can actually learn all those things.
Well, actually, I've kind of been dropping a little bit, so I've been like, I'll be drying, and then I'll see someone pick up something, and I don't know where it goes, and then I'll kind of watch where they put it to try to learn.
Uh-huh.
So I'm kind of able to drop it a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And I have this huge belief, too, that I'm not mechanical. Like, I have no mechanical ability.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I could never fix a leaking hose, you know. Uh-huh. I just could not do it.
The work people didn't hear that. But you know, there it is. You know, it's like it tries to pin you into a corner about who it is and what you can do and what.
Yeah.
And it's like, really? I mean, you drive a car. You know, you've tied your shoes. It's like, I mean, the evidence is so strong against it.
Yeah. Well,
is it going? Well, that doesn't count.
Yeah, so that's not mechanical. Not fixing the engine. You know?
Yet.
And then the other thing it gets me on is the whole fundraising thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, the people came up with all these great slogans, and my mind just totally went blank. There was just nothing there.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, so there's this belief I could never do fundraising. You know, I could never participate in that way because I don't know how to write things. I don't know how to write blurbs. I don't know how to write slogans.
And is it making an argument for a case that how, like, you are just completely flawed? I mean, it's like, that's what it's just doing constantly. It's like, so this thing happens and all of a sudden, well, you're a write-off, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That clearly proves that you can't, and so there you go, there it goes. It's just like the one more thing that you can't actually do or participate in, and it's just like, why are you so invested in talking to me about who it is and how I am?
Well, that's, yeah, you know what I'm seeing is that I think it allows me to have an identity. It says, well, you know, you're not sensate, you're not mechanical, you don't notice things, so you're better just reading. You know, that's the kind of person you are.
Until it gets at you at how you can't read or something like that. Then, good God, what are you going to be? What are you going to do?
Well, yeah, well, then it's using this whole arm issue, too, because it's saying, well, you know, you don't know where things go in the kitchen, you're not mechanical, and you can't even sweep.
Jeez. Did it? Where does it go from there? I mean, what are you going to do next?
I better leave the monastery. Well, I can't do anything.
Wow. Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah.
Because there it is. There's your escape hatch.
Yeah.
From finding how adequate you actually are.
Yeah. Really pigeonholing me.
Arguing for your limitations, isn't that what it's doing?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's arguing for my identity. It's arguing that, you know, I'm kind of this spacey person who can read and, you know, is good at reading things and you know, doing that, and that's about it.
So your project is to prove the voices wrong this week, or just drop them. Don't even. That's not even a matter of engaging with them. It's more like, what's there when they're not?
Yeah, I think what's there when they're not is what I said, like being able to actually watch where people put things and say, oh, you know, I'm learning. Like the other thing I hate is being in a kitchen where I feel like I have nothing to do. Like, everyone's taking the jobs, I'll think of a job, and then they'll have a job.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, basically they'll take the job that I was about to, you know, do, and then I'm just kind of sitting there holding this white cloth.
You don't have a voice saying that you were totally useless. You'd be holding the white cloth, and you'd be finding it, like, on a surface.
Yeah. Okay, so wiping the surfaces, that's true. I am wiping the surfaces.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that great? I mean,
yeah.
Can you tell that anybody else is in that situation? And so that's just projecting, like, everybody knows exactly what they're doing and everybody's got the white cloak.
Well, I'm kind of doing that reverse projection. I'm thinking, oh, they're wiping surfaces with the white cloth. Maybe they don't know what they're doing.
Good, you have a project.
Yeah.
Thank you. Sequoia.
Great this morning as usual. And the neighborhood of anxiety and fear, and I can't quite tell what the difference is between those two, but, you know, man, I just hang out in that neighborhood so much. And just, it's been up for me a lot this week. And in the discussion this morning, I was just seeing that. I could just really relate to that fear and anxiety over, you know, doing a new thing. And what I've seen is that, God, there's someone in here that loves so much to learn, you know. She just, like, loves to learn anything. You know, she just gets so excited.
Yeah.
I remember going to school and, oh, man, that day of getting the new books. And, oh, wow.
Yes.
You know, I'm so fun. Yeah. Everything that's in there. And that was, like, gone in about 3 days. And what I was saying about that is that when there is something new to learn, I'm really called to be here. You know? It's like, I don't know how to do that thing. And I have to, I have to really pay attention.
Yes.
And I don't know, maybe that's kind of part of the excitement. So, of course, conditioning is going to really ramp up. Because, oh my gosh.
She's here.
She might actually be having a good time. Or have an experience of what she's really adequate to. So, we better really, you know, get in there and start telling her how she's going to make a mistake and she's not going to do it right.
Which is a fast track to get engaged with this, not actually being here for it. And guess what happens? Mistakes start. Quote unquote thing. You're not paying attention to actually what's here.
Yeah.
And so it's making a case for, well, that's proof.
There's proof right there. So if I look, might as well stop.
Yeah,
you know.
Which what I project is like the thing that's basically making the learning experience a miserable experience is back to that self-hate part. You know, it's like when self-hate can insert itself into the experience, it's just making a case for how.
Yeah, this really does make me want to just, like, you know, go to the couch.
Right. Oh, I know how to do that.
I know how to sit and do nothing. And
then it doesn't stop there, does it? You know, because it'll be like, How you doing sitting on the couch? Right, you should exactly. be doing something.
Hey, you could be out there, there's a whole world of things. You know, and I have been caught in that place, so,
right.
Like, oh my gosh, there's a whole life happening out there, you know?
Yeah.
But
meanwhile, I'm in this human ping pong match where
exactly.
it's like, it's either the couch or
that. You know, it's just going to be too painful.
Right.
You know, and there was a lot of experience growing up of being laughed at, you know, as kids, mm-hmm. as you're trying to do something, and then, especially when you got a lot of siblings and they're all laughing at you, you know,
right.
it's like, well, okay, uh-huh. you know, this is not safe to try and do something in front of people,
mm-hmm.
or other people know that what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And then that just gives rise to that whole thing of like, well, I just got to practice in secret and not go out and do it until I got it really.
That's right. Yeah.
Really nailed.
Uh huh.
And of course, that day never comes.
Right.
You know?
Right, because you just there's one more thing, or that's just not going to get.
Mm-hmm. Just one more thing. So just really being in that, and just really. Just being in this place of knowing that there's like no running from that anymore, mm-hmm. you know?
That's yeah.
The only way out is through it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, no matter how uncomfortable and how wretched and how much you feel like it's just going to, you know, do me in.
Yeah.
That, you know, that's the door to go through.
Right. Yeah.
Because I've tried the back door so many times.
It keeps convincing us that that door is going to be the one. Everything but.
Everything but. Please don't make me go through that door. You know, I can't.
Yeah.
But
and they're with, and there we go back to the safety, the part who's going to assist us through.
Yeah, that whole discussion about, you know, having the adult there that's like knows that there's choices and that, you know, that little one just doesn't have to keep taking it on the, you know.
Yeah. Who can be there holding that person's hand through the experience.
Right.
Not preventing the experience from happening to that person, like not basically making it a safe environment for this person to just do what it is that they're eager to do, like you just described, you know, just someone's very excited to learn and just needs that bigger adult person there to basically just be there watching over her.
I mean, what a sweet and precious, you know, I just want her to have that experience.
Yeah, it knows that it's worth the risk.
Yeah.
You know, to risk conditioning's wrath. How to Jeffrey, I keep seeing your hand.
I'm so grateful too, because the same thing is happening for me. Mm-hmm. I noticed this morning that when I see, I was looking at a beautiful view, because there are a few of those around here,
every here and there.
And I noticed that every time that happens, there's a story of fear about something. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, I'm afraid of 2 weeks from now. Or tomorrow, or last week, or something. Uh-huh. And I was wondering, why are those two things together? Why does it always happen like that?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's that energy building. Mm-hmm. There has to be something.
How are we going to get this guy to close down and suffer over something?
Yeah. Bottle that. Mm-hmm. Or try to control it. Mm-hmm. Or feel like it's my fault. For having that sensation, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm a little excited. I get to just let that be whatever it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And the same process happens when I feel like I want to do yoga tomorrow morning.
Mm.
Then I all of a sudden I'm afraid that I'll be lonely tomorrow morning.
Mm-hmm.
And they're associated.
Yeah.
I don't want to say they're associated because I think there is a space in between
Oh,
where there's mm-hmm. There's the thing.
There's the gap.
Yes, there's this expansion, and then there's a space, and then there's this thing that comes along with that. And there's somebody who I think really deserves to have that space. Expand. Out.
Where it's where there's a space between the excitement to do the thing or to see the view or to have the experience of the view, and then what happens in that transition period that gets you down the track of you're going to be alone. What about the future? What about the past?
Yeah, I think that that sensation is associated with this story.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm used to. And it's so exciting. In a different group a long, long time ago, somebody said, I can do something about that. I feel like I can do something about that. You know, I feel the same way. There's that I'm not powerless in that scenario. It's such a good feeling.
Yeah, because right now it wants you to see those two things as one experience, and how perfect that is to have it go to this so that you can avoid having the initial excitement about it. I mean, that just gets covered up.
Clamped
down. Yes, yeah, just like what everybody's been sharing this morning. It's just that don't go there. Don't even put yourself in situations where there's beautiful...
Well, yeah, I need to leave the monastery, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, all roads lead out.
In a certain way, yeah.
Yeah.
It seems a lot like conditioning is being really archetypal lately. Mm. Like a witch from a Disney movie, you know? Mm-hmm. Really, really evil. Mm. Yeah. And I'm beginning to see it like a grown-up sees it, if that makes sense.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah,
like that sees used to be
sees
really
what
scary.
It's about. Right, yeah. Exactly.
This is, I'm really seeing that.
That's because there's somebody else looking at it.
Yeah. What is it like?
Yeah, a little person who's in relationship to the wicked conditioning of the West is just constantly in relationship to it this way. Like, it says this, and then this little part's like, oh yeah, okay. And now you have a different view of what's actually going on.
Yeah, and the mentor really has helped with that.
Yeah.
And I never realized for me how I had this process. Conditioning wanted the mentor to be distant from me. Mm-hmm. So the mentor has to... I've been talking to the mentor, and the mentor is fun and has a personality. And it's kind of, you know, can be these nice things. Mm-hmm. And conditioning wanted that person to be distant and above and esoteric and far away.
The expert knows all about the mentor.
Right. Exactly.
Doing a little projection exercise. I'm esoteric, I don't exist, I don't have a body.
Yeah. Has to be ascetic and holy and all of that stuff.
Holy.
And the mentor is just talking to me like a person, a nice, fun, charming person that I enjoy spending time with, and it's nice to make that transition.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you. John.
I've been looking at the process or the mechanics of projection, and the vague sensations are really non-existent, and I just jump right to that projection, and I'm just looking at something arises, and a story, or whatever's closest, magnetically attaches, and I go to the projection. Uh-huh. And it's like I bypass that step, and I'm really not... And I wondered if there's any guidance in notice. I just am missing that in-between to get back or stand back a little bit. The work period's over, and the projection's done because it's over, rather than disidentifying and noticing where that judgment is coming from, or I guess I'm trying to figure it out versus a different experience of sensing what's going on. Any comments?
Well, it's just interesting the way you're laying that out. It's like, so you're, let me see if I'm following you, that there's a projection that you realize is a projection, Is that, am I following
strong,
you so far?
Very strong. Yeah.
And then it immediately gets linked to, it's real?
Oh no, I know it's not. I mean, I can see it's a projection, but I'm caught in that. And it's,
how are you caught in that?
The emotional energy is strong, and I end up being drawn more into that. And
more into what?
More into the judgment. Okay. And the frustration, and so I'll go to a different job, and that I can move away from it physically and do something different. But I've just been.
So are you saying that you're believing the projection, or is the judgment coming in and making it sound real?
There's two conversations going on.
Okay.
One, I know it's just a projection, and I'm in it. I'm the body's in it.
Uh-huh.
But disidentifying from it.
So there's something you need to do about this.
Yeah.
Right. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
How do you fix this?
How do you fix this? Right. Well, you're in that unique position where you're in this place where we say you're in the experience of it, and you're able to actually see what's going on.
It's
like
really,
it's a projection.
Blatantly obvious.
It's blatantly obvious that this is a projection. Yet I have all the same physical sensations, and immediately how conditioning wants to steal that. Or take over again is to say, well, what are you going to do about it now? You know, there's clearly another step that you need to do. Is that right? Is
well,
that
yeah,
what goes
this,
on?
There's this idea that it's...
now you need to... Go ahead. Go ahead.
That there's some you know, this sensation arises,
uh-huh.
And then it doesn't matter... It doesn't matter what the circumstance, there'll be a story that will attach to the sensation.
Mm-hmm.
And I seem to just kind of leapfrog right to that story. And I'm in it, and then getting out or separating from it is a bit of a challenge. Mm-hmm. So that's...
Dave, do you have something?
I was just going to offer my experience of that, which is that, you know, somebody mentioned earlier about kind of our, you know, we each have a basic karmic feel.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that's what it comes down to for me.
Mm-hmm.
That it's rather than... Like, to approach on the level both is useful, but one, to approach on the level of projection is one thing, but to approach on the level of, you know, what's going on under there,
mm-hmm.
that is causing this illusion to arise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, if like, for example, people are talking about fear and anxiety this morning, and if that's attended to,
mm-hmm.
the karma that comes up in an attempt to take care of that,
mm-hmm.
doesn't need to come up in an attempt to take care of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that, I think for most of us, we're not aware that's going on. We're not aware. It's like this churning kind of thing happening underneath us all the time. And we're just aware on the surface level. You know, and actually what's being talked about here is not on the surface level. It's, you know, I think for most people who are not aware of practice and the possibility that's there, it's really on surface level. It's just, mm-hmm. what am I going to do?
Right.
You know, how, you know, what do I, you know, is it the car? Is it the ice cream? Is it
so I just try to figure out what all the variables are that keeps it all together.
Mm-hmm. And then we kind of, you know, we start doing practice, and we start to kind of sift down through the layers, and then, like, the awareness of projection is a huge one.
Yeah.
So, okay, so I can see that this is not real,
mm-hmm.
but it's just... That's my experience anyway. It's kind of just kind of keep sifting down
yeah.
to that place where it's like it's all coming from something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's interesting to put it in the context of the sensation too, because in a way you can say it all comes from that.
Mm-hmm.
There's just this little something, and this whole world gets built on top of it,
mm-hmm.
and then it's all made up. Well, we have to have our attention down here to that place, you know, pull out that mm-hmm. little assumption,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
that connection between the sensation and the. And that all the meaning gets put on top of it, and then that's when the whole thing comes apart.
Right, and this particular one is very predominant, so that it's as though anything will bring up this particular storyline and comes up again. So that's helpful. I think maybe just burning with it, and maybe, I don't know, it was just talked about going through it, but that seems like amplification. And maybe there's a different way of moving through it versus amplification.
It will be interesting to see.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And thank you all.